I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is community activist Dominic Villa. Dominic talks about growing up in South Waco, starting his organization South Waco Strength, and now translating some of those learnings into his new home in District 4. But first, it's the word on the street. The word on the street for October is performance. There is a ton of stuff happening all around Waco, whether it be theatrical performance or comedy or music coming with the Out on the Brazos Festival next weekend. But this weekend, a super exciting show happens with a new theater company here in Waco. I'm happy to be joined by Braden Brazil and Alex Blanton of Silent House Theater Company. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you for having us.
We're glad to be here.
So, Braden, what's going to be happening tonight at the Mission Waco Jubilee Theater?
Yeah, tonight we open our show that we've been working on for the past 6 weeks or so. It's Lauren Gunderson's I and You, and we will open at 7 o'clock tonight.
And where did the idea for putting on this specific production come about?
Well, we actually did a show in June called A Streetcar Named Desire. It's a classic. And we decided that we wanted to have well-rounded show seasons. So that includes classics, but also includes contemporary pieces, musicals, new works, you know, all of those different genres. So we were looking at a little bit more contemporary pieces, something to introduce a different type of audience. And we came across Lauren Gunderson's I and You, which is a beautiful, how would you describe it?
Beautiful, interesting. I would say interesting because the entire work as a whole is just different things. I don't really want to get into it and spoil it, but all I'll say is the show you have to see twice. Yeah. And we knew we wanted to work with the Mission Waco Jubilee again because we love Mission Waco, so we decided to put on a show there.
Yeah, it's a very contemporary piece. It's about high school students. A guy and a girl. It's just actually a two-person show. So it's this very, very small show, very contemporary. I think a lot of young people will relate to it. And it's about a girl that needs a liver transplant. And a high school boy, a jock, he gets partnered up with her in a school project. And so he comes to her house to work on that project. And, you know, a friendship blooms out of it.
Well, if you do want to see the show twice, there are multiple opportunities, three this weekend and three next. Alex, Silent House Theater is a new performance troupe here in town, and you guys have sort of a unique take.
Yeah, so I knew when I got involved with Silent House Theater Company because I was in A Streetcar Named Desire, I really wanted to build a relationship with the deaf community when we were building our company. So all of our shows will have at least two shows that are interpreted. So October 1st and October 8th, those Friday night shows, we'll have interpreters for the deaf. And we have a huge deaf audience because I work closely with them because I am an interpreter. So we have a huge deaf audience who want to come see the shows because accessibility is not something that's always on the forefront of people's minds when it comes to theater. So we really want that to be an important part of Silent House. And all of Silent House is just a different take on theater, whether it's the deaf outreach or it's just the type of theater we like producing, the edgy content or the stuff that makes you think, that will always be our goal.
When can people see you this weekend and what's the best way for them to get tickets?
So we perform tonight, October 1st is our opening night. We also have a performance tomorrow night, it's October 2nd at 7 o'clock and October 3rd at 2 o'clock. And then next weekend we perform Friday, October 8th at 7, Saturday, October 9th at 7, and October 10th at 2 o'clock, all at Mission Waco's Jubilee Theater, which we adore. You can buy your tickets at silenthousetheater.com, or you can go follow us at Silent House Waco, and you can click the link in our bio.
Braden Brazil and Alex Blanton of Silent House Theater Company, thank you so much for bringing new perspectives to stage in Waco. I'm really excited to check out the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for listening.
We'd love to have you.
I'm now joined in studio by Dominic Villa. Dominic is a photographer, videographer, and community developer based in South Waco. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
I'm glad to be here. It's an honor for sure.
Dom, tell me a little bit about your Waco history.
Born and raised here in South Waco. Been here all my life. My family's been here for a few generations. Went to every Sawaco public school you could think of, from Alta Vista to University Middle School, University High School, and now I'm an MCC graduate as well. So I've kind of completed the ring around Waco schools. Spent all my life here in the community. I started Sawaco Strength a couple of years ago. That's something that I'm a little known for in the community. That's kind of branched out a little bit on its own, formed its own life. It started off as a backyard gym because my wife and I were spending way too much money on CrossFit gyms. And at that time, we just had a newborn, and it was about impossible to wake up at 5 a.m. when my daughter is waking up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. So it was more beneficial to invest in my own equipment. And instead of spending $200, $300 every month, I could put that into my own equipment and have my own setup at home. And we decided to invest. And once we got to a good point, I started to invite people over, and people that didn't know each other, people that kind of knew each other. And it started to become a community workout of sorts. And people who didn't know each other ended up becoming really good friends after a good butt-kicking workout. So I started to see the power of community, the power of being able to create community on your own. And I knew that whatever this was, I wanted to reflect me and my community. And so I just named it Sawaco Strength, particularly because strength isn't really, it's not defined by one aspect, whether it be physical. It can also go to a mental aspect of strength. And for me, I'm a really big advocate of mental health. So I wanted to make sure that whatever I do has shades of mental health awareness in it. And so with Sawaco Strength, it formed from a backyard gym to a platform that spoke about the stigmas and the lack of awareness in many communities, especially Black and brown communities that I've been in all my life. We often don't really talk about mental health at all. It's actually kind of shunned to talk about in most cases. So that was my intro into community activism, I guess you'd say. And then from there, I've always been doing photography and videography, which I've met so many people in the community doing, just offering free photo shoots or cheap photo shoots. It just, you know, you start to meet so many people do that. So that's kind of where I came from as far as how I got here to this point. And so it's just been a beautiful journey.
Nothing unites like a common enemy. I'm sure that all the neighbors who showed up at South Waco Strength were very happy to team up and say, Dominic, you're making us do burpees and barbells. We're so annoyed with you. Now we all feel a lot closer and connected because we're mad at this guy making us work our butts off.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you can get through the sweat, you look down and you see that puddle and you realize, wow, that's not just my sweat. That's the sweat of my neighbor. That's the sweat of my neighbor's neighbor. And you can really see how much that community connection brings people together. What was it when you were first getting started with South Waco Strength that you thought it was going to be? Did you always intend it having this focus on more than just physical health, mental health as well? Or is that something that kind of came about as more people got involved?
Yeah. And also it was pre-COVID. So the sweat was, wasn't really infected by that. But I started off just wanting it to be just a gym, just a physical aspect of it. But I knew that I needed it to have something that advocated for mental health. For me, whether going through my own bouts of depression or anxiety over my lifetime, and then seeing my mother, my family, people in the community every day that struggle with these things, I wanted to kind of be the person that spoke on it. And it was really yearning for me at that time, especially when we just had a newborn and I was learning so much about postpartum depression, PPD often referred to, and just about how much nobody, just about the lack of information that surrounded that. I recall one time that we were at the doctor's office, my wife and I, and this is before we had a baby, almost getting close to pop, and the doctor from my wife said, gave us a pamphlet, a brochure, and it was so many different aspects of pregnancy and like a little of the early, what they call the fourth trimester. And right when she got to the postpartum depression side of this brochure, she just closed it. And she was like, oh, and you can look through the rest of it. And so that kind of always stuck with me as far as like how much there is like a lack of information or lack of wanting to start that dialogue about these type of issues. So as soon as I started Southwick Strength and I seen that it was kind of doing a little bit better and people started to gain interest in it, I was like, yeah, let me plug this in and make sure this is like the main aspect of it for sure.
What were some of the experiences that you had growing up in South Waco that made you realize how important mental health is?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's so many things that are in play where mental health is at play, especially in my lifetime of growing up in a very tight-knit community like South Waco. One thing about our culture is, and when I say our culture, I don't just mean Hispanic people, but the people that make up South Waco, you know, it's a mixed population of black people, white people, Hispanic people. These are people that, in my experience, don't really have all the resources, and they're kind of low-income areas. And so when you mix that in with mental health, you start to see addiction, whether it be substance abuse as far as like drugs or alcohol, you see that come into play. You see toxic households, and you see people just kind of running away from responsibilities. And so, you know, and whether it be South Waco or some other community all across the nation, when you look at poverty and you look at low income area, mental health is at play in all these aspects. And so that's why they say every ghetto or every, you know, low income area, that it all looks the same across the country because they all have these issues of mental health.
When you were putting on a session for South Waco Strength, we get to your house, we're doing burpees, we're doing barbells, everybody's getting sweaty. At some point, does it become less of a physical thing and it becomes more of a mental thing? Like, do we all sit down after the workout and talk about what's going on in our souls? Or is that something that just happens organically because of the community that's driven through the physical activity?
For sure, for sure. So it started off as like a butt kicking workout. And usually it'd be a small group, which is a little bit easier to dive into some of those topics. After a good workout, we'd sit down and everybody would just be beat. We'd be sitting on our mats or sitting on the floor, everyone sweating, and you'd have maybe three or four guys in a session, and then one guy could say something that another guy will relate to. And these are a mix of people that I always invited, whether they were fathers or whether they were just, you know, students or people that had been around the block a few times. One person usually opens up, and I try to navigate the dialogue into a terms of everybody can fit in instead of just one person speaking, another person listening, and another person just kind of on the sideline, just like, eh, you know, I try to bring everybody in. But it mostly started as a good workout, and then someone would kind of open up, and then conversation and dialogue would happen from there. And a big aspect of this, well, a big part of this that I should mention is that I've never tried to supplement therapy or any services like that. It would be a case of like, you know, what you're going through is valid. And so let me recommend you to people that I do know that do therapy or do in this line of work, you know. So I feel like it's very important that we don't try to be other people's therapists, because that is a line of work that you have to be trained for, and you have to have the mental capacity and the freedom to do that type of line of work. Because if we're taking on other people's problems, then we also lose the room for our own problems, and that can cause a lot of issues.
Do you feel that tension as a leader of, I now have the spotlight on me because I'm the one leading this workout, I'm the one facilitating the conversation, but I also have my own internal things going on and I don't necessarily have the space or the strength to share this with you guys? Or is it really supposed to be a radically inclusive sort of event?
Yeah, at that time, it was a little bit of a struggle that I would speak to my wife about is doing these type of things in the community and people wanting to pour out more than what I'm able to handle at that time. And so that's why I would always start and include in the middle and then also end with that I'm not a therapist and that I'm not able to be the closest ear. I can be an ear for you, but I'm not the one that can help you navigate this journey while I'm also navigating through my own journey. And so throughout this journey, South Waco Strength started in like 2019. I think we stopped doing the workouts end of 2019 or so. And so haven't done that aspect in a while, because then COVID hit and then everything just changed from there.
But still, it's a community of people who identify as being from South Waco. And yeah. South, even before meeting you, I had heard of South Waco Strength. I heard of this organization that empowers people.
Yeah, it definitely transcended what I imagined it would. Took off a little bit more than I thought. And throughout the journey of just the last couple of years, I would have people inbox me and reach out to me, whether it just be walking in the mall or at Bush's. You know, I remember one time I was sitting down eating and somebody was like, hey, you're the guy that was Cyber Constraint, right? And you know, like, this is the stuff that's been on my mind. This is what I've been wanting to tell people, but I don't have anyone to tell. And so it's always one of those situations where, like, I would love to hear more about someone's journey, but there's also a lot that I take in a lot too, being a student, being a father, being a husband. It's just my plate was full 3 plates ago, you know. So
without naming any names, can you share a story of a conversation that took place at South Waco Strength or something that's come out of it that's been fruitful?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's so many. I think one conversation that made a big impact on me was there was a gentleman that I invited to come work out, and he was a newborn father as well. And this was a lighter crew. This was me and 2 other guys. It was the gentleman I'm speaking of, and then also one of my good friends that's been a best friend for a long time. After we finished the workout, I could tell something was bothering him from the beginning when he came. And then also while we were doing the workout, it wasn't seeming like he was really wanting to be there. And at the end, he was like, man, I'm glad I showed up. He was like, I was like at my lowest point this weekend, because we usually do it like Sunday mornings or like maybe Saturday mornings. But he was saying that the week was just tough on him all week, and he just wasn't sure what he was going to do for the next week. And we didn't even really speak about the details. It was just me validating his journey, and it was just people listening to him and being an ear for him and letting him know that he's not alone. You know, this man, one of the hardest men I ever met as far as, like, you know, things of reputation and action that they're taking, you know, a very thorough guy, and he just kind of was bawling. He was just, you know, broke down, and it was an eye-opening experience because I never thought something like that would happen, let alone in my backyard after a hard workout, you know. And so from that point on, I was like, wow, I need to take this a lot more serious, because there's people out there, you know, every day that are dealing with issues that we never would know. And so, you know, that definitely changed how I treat. Well, I've always treated people good, but now I look at everyone like they're one little thin line away from breaking down. So that's my outlook on everybody nowadays.
I have a 3-year-old daughter, kind of similar to the age of your daughter, and we're in this Dolly Parton imagination library book where Dolly Parton sends us a different book every month. And there was one we got a couple months ago. I think it's called The Rabbit Listens. And it's this little kid who's playing with blocks, and they get knocked down. And all these different animal friends come and visit him. The elephant comes in and tries to remember the exact way the blocks were, and we can rebuild them. The snake comes in and says, oh, they were knocked down. Let's knock down everyone else's blocks too. And all these different animals come in trying to comfort the kid whose blocks were knocked down, and none of them work until the rabbit comes in. And the rabbit just sits there. Yeah. It just sits there while the little kid cries and mourns the fact that his blocks are gone. And a lot of people don't want to get involved or are hesitant to get involved in situations that feel sticky because they feel incompetent. I don't know the right things to say to this person whose brother died or who lost their job, when a lot of times they're just looking for someone to listen to them. They're looking for someone to be there and be present. And it sounds like that's what you've created with South Waco Strength.
Definitely. And also, I love the Dolly Parton book supply. It's our favorite thing so far. But yeah, great book. And that's right along. It's pretty much parallel what the journey was with South Waco Strength. And I'm right with you as far as used to be at a point where if somebody cried in front of me, I'd be like, you know, what do I do? You know, I wasn't really raised in a household or in a family that would be that nurturing for a situation like that. I come from like a, you know, like, all right, come, you know, get over it, you know, go through it. As I get older and learn more, it's, you know, like I said, the rabbit in the book was validating. It was letting them know they weren't alone. And those 2 phrases right there are just, you know, just doing those 2 things, validating and being with someone at that tough time, just listening. I mean, those are life-changing things.
Especially when it comes to a mental health issue where you can feel like you are the only person in your world.
Yeah,
having definitely. Other people penetrate that and realize, hey, I'm here for you. I love you.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one thing that I really try to do with new fathers. Because that journey, early journey of parenthood, that's rough. That's rough. Sometimes, like, I felt like I was the only one doing this. And, you know, like, me and my wife were just on the island alone at these very early nights. I mean, early mornings, late nights. It was tough. So, you know, I definitely never want anyone else to feel like they're alone. So,
you're hearing from Dominic Villa. Dominic is a community activist in South Waco, as well as a photographer and videographer across Greater Waco. I saw that recently you had been appointed to a board. Mm-hmm. A commission in Brook Oaks. This is the Commission for Building Standards. Now, people who are listening to this, there are dozens, maybe 100 different city commissions and advisory boards that you can be a part of as a volunteer. You can get involved in your community. I'm the chairman of the Transportation Board. I've loved doing that. Why did you hop on this board in Brook Oaks, and what does the Brook Oaks neighborhood mean to you?
Definitely. So I am new to the Brook Oaks neighborhood. I'm new to District 4. Under one of my good friends, Kelly Palmer. She appointed me in this role. So I'm moving from South Waco. So we're moving to District 4, and we're going to be introduced to this new community. And I really wanted to do my part here and make sure that I'm, you know, that I want to make sure that I'm playing a role here, that I'm being involved, and I'm not just going to sit back and enjoy the hard work that people have put into District 4, but I also want to just have an impact here. And so if I can do that through a board, if I can do that through any volunteer work, I definitely will. South Waco is my home and I always have my heart. But, you know, just the way Waco real estate is right now, we're just moving around. And I just want to explore these communities, explore these neighborhoods.
What can you take from your experience living in South Waco and bring to make District 4 even better?
For sure. I mean, District 4 is starting off amazing already. One thing about South Waco that I've always will keep in mind, and I keep in heart, is that tight-knit communities go a lot further than those that are displaced and those that are just unfamiliar with each other. Growing up, for me, the experiences that I hold very dear are being outside all the time, seeing people on their porches, seeing kids playing together, riding bikes, older people looking out for the younger people looking out for the older people. Those are things that I will take with me everywhere I go. And I think that starts with just getting to know our neighbor. I know in this day and age, there's a lot of hesitancy to get to know other people. But I think that the more...
Even before COVID, you're saying?
Yes, sir. Even before COVID, you know, a lot of people don't really have the space to get to know other people. I mean, community sounds great and being tight-knit sounds great. But when you're struggling with so many issues, it's hard to do that, you know? So I think it takes that one person to reach out and just be that little beam of light, if possible, and just take that first step and be like, hey, like, you know, what's your name? You know, nice to meet you. And then hopefully build a relationship or build a rapport with the people in your area. I think that's how we start to just get back to those older times. Because older generations, they always say, especially my mom and grandma, she was like, well, I knew, you know, Miss So-and-so lived next door and Mr. So-and-so lived across the street. And everyone looked out for each other as far as like, oh, if I leave, I know this person has eyes on my area, has eyes on my property, and, you know, will help me out. Or they would have like block parties where the street would be shut down and the whole community, whole neighborhood would just have a big, you know, I don't know if you ever seen Sandlot or people listening have ever seen the Sandlot. It's kind of like that. South Waco was like that at one point, of just having this little area shut down and all the people in the neighborhood would have, you know, just a great time. So I know that looks different nowadays with COVID and how fast communities change given the change of Waco. But I think, you know, if we're intentional about it, you know, a beginning can start.
How has fatherhood affected the way that you view community activism?
Oh, wow. I always tell my wife that if it wasn't for her and my daughter, like, I would not be here and I would not have a mindset that's shaped around this type of stuff. One goal that I always keep in mind is wanting to make sure that the community is better for my daughter than how it was for me. And I love the way it was for me, but there were aspects that I wish were never there and some of the bad stuff. And doing this work in the communities, whether it be South Waco or in Waco in general, I'm hoping to prepare for the better for my daughter and her generation as well. If we can have a healthier community, a safer community, that's a win-win for everyone. And so with parenthood, one of the hardest aspects of parenthood is reparenting yourself. looking at things that you know and things that were instilled in you that may not be correct or may not have been the best. And going through that and like putting the shovel into it and kind of throwing it behind your shoulder.
So what's something you've had to reparent or reteach yourself?
Oh, wow. I mean, so one thing that we do differently with my daughter is when she's crying and she's kind of like in an uncomfortable state, I don't say, it's okay, it's okay. Like, you know, stop crying. That's like dismissing the feelings. And this is just one situation, but this is something that we change up a lot. And it's just as we go back to that book that we were saying of validating feelings, letting her know that we're here for her and I can handle her feelings as well. That's something that it takes a lot to do. I mean, it sounds pretty simple, you know, but when your kid's crying your ear off, you just want it to stop, you know? And so having that patience and having to take a step back and take a breather and then come back to it and be like, hey, you know, I'm here for you. You know, your feelings are valid. You know, I'm, you know, I can handle them. And so just situations like that and just having to take a look and see, I mean, even looking at corporal punishment, I mean, growing up in the neighborhood and the community, it's like, unfortunately, the mindset was, you know, you whoop your kid and they'll be in line, you know, but that, I don't think that ever really worked, truly. And so, you know, so there's a form of parenting called gentle parenting. And so that's kind of what we lean more toward of. And so it's just kind of scraping things that we don't really think worked and just trying something new, you know.
What is something that's happening in Waco that gives you hope, whether it's a new business that opened or a conversation you had recently or an organization? What's something that's exciting you right now?
Man, I would say that my friends at Waco Chow are the most exciting, well, one of the most exciting things about Waco. Tung and Jaja, they are truly trailblazers in all that they do. They are a beacon of light unlike any other, because not only do they want to build something for themselves, but they also want to build things around them. And the amount of people that reach out to Tung and they say, oh, like, you know, like, how can I start my own business? Or they reach out to Jaja and be like, you know, how can I start this or start that? And these folks will put people in line to do that. And just looking at other small businesses around town, I mean, growing up for me, being here all my life, I've never seen this amount of local businesses and also the support for local business. I think that there was small businesses, obviously, around town when I was younger, but I never seen the push from the community to go and support these places. And so now it's like synchronized. The community loves these businesses. The businesses look out for the community. And so I'm just looking forward to all the things that are going to pop up down the road.
Dominic Villa is a photographer, videographer, and community developer based in South Waco, now living in Brook Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming on Downtown Depot and sharing your story.
Glad to be here, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to community activist Dominic Villa, Braden Brazil, and Alex Blanton of Silent House Theater Company, and you for tuning in to episode 113 of Downtown Depot here on Waco Public Radio. If you want to keep up to date in between episodes, find me on Instagram and Facebook at Waco Business News, and join us back here on Waco Public Radio on the third Friday of October for another conversation with an inspiring small business owner, civic leader, or engaged citizen sparking Waco's renaissance. I'm Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.